You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt Podcast ahead of the Premier League weekend here with William Hill. As usual, the stalwarts of the programme, Derek McGovern and Tom Kerwin on the line right now. Dave Kellner here in the studio, and we're going to give you hopefully the best bets for the 10 Premier League matches this weekend. First of all, a warm welcome to Mr. Tom Kerwin, who's coming to us live from Elland Road.
Hello, everybody. Hello. Yeah, live from Elland Road with the authentic sound of lawnmowers in the background.
If you've got that drone throughout the podcast, that's not Derek this week. those are the lawnmowers in the background. Derek, I didn't mean to start the podcast like that. I do apologise, sir.
That's what I use my haircuts, those lawnmowers. Never knocked them.
How are you doing, sir?
Yes, all well here.
Let's get straight stuck in then, and we'll start with Manchester City versus Chelsea, which is undoubtedly the biggest game this weekend. It's Saturday lunchtime, 12:30, and Man City are 23-20 to win it here with William Hill. The draw 12-5, Chelsea 13-5. A couple of enhanced odds offers for you. Yaya Toure to score and Man City to win was 3-1, now 4-1, and Diego Costa to score and Chelsea to win was 19-5. Now 5-1. We've got the top two strikers in the Premier League going head to head here with Diego Costa on one side and Sergio Aguero on the other. And Aguero's got that incredible record in the Premier League. Even when you think he's not performing well, he actually is. 33 in his last 34 Premier League games, and he's got 4 in his last 2 against Chelsea in the league as well. Man City favourites here, but Chelsea on this incredible run at the moment. They've won 7 league games in a row, and they're looking very good in the process as well.
They're looking extremely good. They're confident. You know, there are players that I think have been written off by many Chelsea fans. That Antonio Conte's turned around. Not only 7 straight wins, Dave, but 19 goals scored during those 7 games and only 1 conceded. And you bear in mind that in that run, they've played Manchester United, Southampton, Everton and Spurs. You know, 4 sides that, you know, are tough games, and they've come through them with flying colours. I think what's interesting as well for Chelsea is the same starting 11 for the last 6 games. That is huge. Now, that doesn't happen very often in the Premier League anymore. In fact, it rarely happens. But, of course, they're afforded the luxury of doing that because they're not balancing up any of the competitions. No League Cup for them over the last week. No European competitions. A lot has already been made of that. And Man City themselves, you know, I still can't get my head really around them. You know, at times they've put in the kind of gritty performances away from home that they kind of needed to get results. And they've done that at Burnley last time. I thought they did it at Crystal Palace as well. You know, 2 narrow victories away from home in the Premier League where they had to show a little bit of steel and resilience. They've had some big victories too. But I just get a feeling that although, you know, over the last month or so, the results have been all right. You know, since that defeat in the League Cup to Manchester United, the results have been okay. They're still not playing brilliantly. The advantage for Man City is people like David Silva, Gundogan and De Bruyne are all well rested. I mean, neither of the first 2 players I mentioned there, you know, played last week against Burnley. De Bruyne only played a few minutes. So those 3 players come back into it fresh. Their home form is very good. But for me, this is about the 2 strikers up front here. Sergio Aguero, he got 4 in his last 2 Premier League games. Diego Costa has only failed to score or assist in 2 of his 13 Premier League games this season. And when I look at the prices, I can't help but be drawn to the away side here. I think Chelsea are flying. And Man City defensively, I can't trust. Chelsea's defence, I can trust at the moment. 1 goal conceded in 7 Premier League games is enough for me to think Chelsea can keep Man City out, or at least down to the 1 goal that I think they will probably need to if they're going to get the result here. 13-5 is decent enough for me on Chelsea. I like the enhanced odds as well. Diego Costa scoring a Chelsea 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1, because I think it could be about those scorelines. But Chelsea drawn a bet at 6-4 just covers me, just in case. And I've got this sneaky feeling that neither Guardiola or Conte want to give much away, and it could actually be an unders game. And sometimes in these big Premier League games, you know, it pays to back the unders.
If you're looking at those enhanced odds offers, they are on the top of the page on the website. Under 2.5 goals, by the way, is available at 11-10. And Tom made mention of that Diego Costa offer. Him to score Chelsea 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 was 8-1. That's been enhanced to 9-1. Chelsea have won 11 games away at Manchester City in the Premier League. That's their most against a team away from home in the competition's history as well. And it's that consistency in their lineup Derek, that's helped Chelsea?
They're playing exceptionally well. As Tom said, you don't get that in the Premier League and unchanged line, you know, with the big teams, maybe the lesser teams. But it's pretty much unheard of, and everything's flying. And you have to say, these odds, this strength is odd, if you pardon the pun, because it seems to me your odds compilers don't 100% trust Chelsea, because 13-5 on the face of it is too big for a side at the top of the league and on a run of 7 straight wins against a team that's unconvincing. I mean, that's the adjective you'd have to use to describe City. The last three matches have been against sides that are likely to finish in the bottom six. They've scraped 2-1 wins in two of them without being impressive, and a 1-1 draw, and yet they're just a little bit more than even money to beat the Chelsea side who are flying. I really don't understand it. The defence looks all at sea, whereas Chelsea's looks impregnable. And whatever Conte's doing at Stamford Bridge, it's working the Oracle, because, I mean, he's even turned Victor Moses into a top-notch talent. I mean, even God couldn't have got more out of Moses this season. He's just unbelievable. I mean, City are easy on the eye, yes, at the best, but they're even easier on opponents at the moment, because even when it looks though they control a game, they end up, you know, hanging on for dear life. I'm not convinced by them this season. I share your odd compilers' mistrust of Chelsea slightly, because I still don't think they're as good as their recent form suggests. You know, Tom mentioned that some of the fixtures they've played there, and I suppose last week I may have been a bit unkind. I said some of their recent fixtures have been easy. That list makes it sound as though I was unkind to them, but I don't know. There's something I can't put my finger on about Chelsea. I think they're too reliant on Hazard still, and I think if he's not at it, like he was throughout the whole of last season, I think they'll struggle. But that said, I think 13-5 is too big for them, and I'll be weighing in on the Blues the Dark Blues this weekend.
Chelsea for both Tom and Derek in the early kickoff, 13-5. The late kickoff on Saturday evening, 5:30, is West Ham versus Arsenal at the London Stadium, and West Ham are 19-5 to win the game. The draw 14-5. With Arsenal in the market at 3-4. Enhanced odds, Dimitri Payet to score and West Ham to win was 13-2, now 8-1. Olivier Giroud to score and Arsenal to win was 13-8, now 2-1. West Ham did well in this fixture last season, Derek, winning one and drawing one against the Gunners in the league. However, they're without a win in five now, and they desperately need to return to form. A little bit unlucky against Tottenham. I think that was a couple of weeks ago now, Derek. Do you see any value in West Ham at 19-5?
I think they're a massive price. I really do. Yeah, there are signs of them coming back to form. I know they were useless in midweek against United, but I really think they gave that game up from a very early stage. In fact, from the moment Ibrahimovic scored after about 90 seconds, they were awful. They were unrecognisable from the team that had played at Old Trafford 3 days earlier and got a draw there. I thought, you know, that was a very impressive performance. A good headline in the Mirror this week: Stars on Sunday, Weaklings Wednesday. That described West Ham this week. And remember too that, you know, they had a good result against was it a City, did you say? I can't remember. It was a City game there.
They played well against Spurs, didn't they?
Yeah, they had narrowly beaten there. There's reasons to like West Ham at the moment. Arsenal, I'm not having them. I watched them against Bournemouth last week, and I actually thought Bournemouth outclassed them for about 75 minutes. I thought Bournemouth were much the better team. And you're in trouble when that's the case. Bournemouth, we'll come to Bournemouth later, by the way, 4-1 to beat Liverpool. Ho-ho! I'm going to go for West Ham here. I think they're overpriced. 4-1 at home against Arsenal, who they did a number on last season, as you say, drew one and won one. I don't think they've got anything to be scared of against Arsenal. I really don't. I look at that Arsenal team, and I read somewhere this week, someone was saying that player for player, their squad has got the strongest in depth among all the teams in Europe. What planet is that guy from? Because I can't see anybody that scares me if I was an opponent. I'm going for West Ham here. It's too big.
West Ham 19-5 for Derek. Tom?
I'm going to go the opposite way. I look at Arsenal, I look at away from home. They've not lost away from home this season. They've won six of their matches on their travels. They've drawn just three. It's been a poor month for Arsenal, but what they've been able to do, despite recent performances, is kind of dig in and get some draws. You know, draws against Tottenham, draws against Manchester United, you know, admittedly dropped points against Middlesbrough. This is league form, and You know, they've not been scintillating, they've not played well, but West Ham are a nothing side for me. I know they played well against Tottenham and Manchester United, they got that draw, but for me, there's too many of their big players, and the big player that they're reliant on, of course, is Payet, and he is just not turning up. I mean, he threw the towel in pretty quickly in midweek, and whether he's able to sort of gain something, you know, get his mojo back quickly for Saturday, I'm not too sure. I just feel, away from home, Arsenal are a team I want to be backing, especially on a big pitch at the London Stadium. You know, a little bit of pressure on West Ham. They got those back-to-back wins a few weeks ago, and people thought, well, that's it. A bit like Stoke. You know, those two are in similar situations, but Stoke have climbed up the table. West Ham, you know, recent results have pushed them way back down. I just think Arsenal, you know, with the changes that are going to be made to the team, also, you know, they made a lot of changes in midweek. I think it's going to be a lot stronger for them. And this is the kind of game, you're looking at Arsenal sort of away results, Sunderland, Burnley, Hull City, Watford. They've won those games with very little problems. I know the Burnley one was kind of late on, but, you know, they've gone there and beaten those teams. And I can't really say that West Ham, based on this season, are any better or any worse than any of those teams that they've gone and got results at. And I think they will do it, Arsenal. It's how they do it. They're not going to make life easy, are they? You know, I think this is a game, if you want to avoid the outright results, you've got to look at goals here. I see neither defence, and especially with the injury problems that both teams have, I see neither defence covering themselves in glory. And I see there being plenty, and I don't mind the over 3.5 price actually at 13-8. Likewise, Arsenal victory and over 2.5 goals, and that's where I'm going to head at 13-10. I think Arsenal will concede, but ultimately I think they're too strong for a misfiring West Ham side.
On to Sunday's live games, and we start with Liverpool's trip to Bournemouth to the Vitality at 1:30. Bournemouth 4-1 to win this match. The draw 14-5, Liverpool 8-11. Josh King to score and Bournemouth to win was 7-1, now 9-1. And Sadio Mane to score and Liverpool to win was 2-1. That's been enhanced to 3-1. Derek, you'll have to keep your powder dry for just a few moments' time. Tom gets first bite of the cherry here.
I like it.
I suppose that Liverpool will have to be, I mean, a little bit wary of Bournemouth, because this is a real test for Liverpool now. Without Philip Coutinho and Adam Lallana, Roberto Firmino a doubt as well, going to have to change their, not only their personnel, but formation for this game as well, Tom.
Yeah, they will. And I don't think Liverpool have the strength to lose the kind of players that you've just mentioned there. I really don't. I mean, I was at Anfield on Tuesday night for their game against Leeds, and you know, they made a lot of changes. I know they dominated possession of the ball, but ultimately what it said to me was, yes, some promising young players coming through, but ultimately the players that are on standby are not quite up to it. And I think I can kind of see there's been a few sort of doom merchants around Liverpool and around their squad, really. You know, with Sadio Mane going to go to the African Cup of Nations. Obviously, Coutinho out for this Christmas period. Then, you know, you can kind of see it crumbling a little bit. And I think actually Eddie Howe will be reinforcing that to his players this week. I think he'll feel that he has the best chance of upsetting Liverpool and getting a victory at home. I've talked about my love-hate relationship with Bournemouth. We've had an up and down. We've had a rocky spell this season. I've backed them and they've let me down. And then when I've stayed well away from them, they've produced good performances. And they did play well last week against Arsenal. They played well at Stoke, you know, away from home in those last two games. Their home form has been disappointing. You know, the teams that they've lost the most recently, well, in particular Sunderland, was a real shock for them. But they've shown against Tottenham they are more than capable of giving top sides a really, really tough game. And I think with Liverpool's weaknesses and the players that are missing, I think this is an opportunity for Bournemouth. I really do, and I'm not trying to steal Derek's thunder here, but I can't disagree when I look at the price of 4-1. But again, it's goals, isn't it? You can't see this game being a tight match in terms of goals. Even with some of the attacking personnel missing for Liverpool, you've got to expect it to be goals in this.
If you are looking at the goals markets, over 2.5 is 4-7, over 3.5 in the market at 6-4. Liverpool's recent form has been incredibly strong. They've won 8 and drawn 3 of their last 11 in the Premier League. That's their longest unbeaten run under Jurgen Klopp and longest such streak since going 13 without defeat. And that was under Brendan Rodgers back in March 2015. Take it away, Derek, here. Why is 4-1 too big?
Well, maybe if I hadn't watched Bournemouth last week against Arsenal, I might not be saying that, because Liverpool have been flying in the league, as you rightly say. But I couldn't believe what I saw from Bournemouth. You look at the result, you got beat 3-1 at Arsenal. What are you going on about, McGovern? But I thought they were sensational for most of that game. I honestly thought they were a better side than Arsenal. And anybody coming down from outer space and watching that game would be thinking, well, you know, are Arsenal really that much better than Bournemouth to be, you know, in the title running and Bournemouth way down in the league? No, they're not. And you look at Bournemouth's other form at home. Okay, their home form hasn't been as beautiful as it was last year. But look at some of the games they've played. They've beaten Everton 1-0, beaten West Brom 1-0, drew 0-0 at home to Tottenham. You know, the bigger challenges, they write to them, you know, and they don't give anything away either. I can't explain the 2-1 defeat at home to Sunderland, one of those games that, you know, inexplicable, really. They followed that up, by the way, by going to Stoke and winning 1-0, and should really have got something from Arsenal last week. 4-1 is too big, and the second reason 4-1 is too big is that Liverpool are without Coutinho. And now I know everybody goes on about the embarrassment of riches Liverpool have going forward, the Lallanas, the Manes, the Firminos. It's Coutinho that makes Liverpool tick. He's the shining star. And without him, I think, I'm not alone in saying this among Liverpool fans, I think it's going to be a struggle for them. Yeah, they could easily win this, but their odds on away from home against the Bournemouth side that I think are a very good side. I've changed my tune about them after watching them last week. They were excellent. I'm 4-1. I'm not going to let that go missing.
It's funny you say that about Coutinho because, Derek, I have Firmino down as the man that makes Liverpool tick. I think that when he plays in that forward role, the runs that he makes, the work rate of Firmino, it almost filters down through the side and he's the one, if he's out, I think they're going to really struggle. I know Coutinho he's the class act and he can produce moments of magic that no other player in that Liverpool team can. But I have Firmino down as that man.
No, Firmino, he surprised me. I didn't think he was going to be as good as he has been. He's been sensational this season. But, yeah, you ask 1,000 Liverpool fans who's more important to the team, Firmino or Coutinho, and 999 of them will say Coutinho.
As long as the other one says Firmino, I'll be happy. Everton versus Manchester United is the 4 p.m. kickoff on Sunday. Everton are 11-4, the draw 12-5, with Manchester United 11-10. A couple of enhanced odds offers. Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win was 4-1. That's been enhanced to 5-1. And Juan Mata to score and Manchester United to win was 17-5. That's been boosted to 5-1. Derek, we know Everton must improve. After winning four of his first five Premier League matches with Everton, Koeman's just won one in the last eight in charge of them. And it's difficult to pinpoint exactly what's gone wrong with Everton, Derek. But I think some of their bigger players will fancy this one. Televised against Manchester United, the likes of Ross Barkley, Yannick Bolasie, Lukaku. I think they'll fancy this against this Manchester United side.
I'm not. What do you get if you cross a ball and Romelu Lukaku, a goal kick? I mean, he's been a disgrace, absolute disgrace, and most of the Everton team have. I've been expecting them to improve, but they're getting worse. There's something not right at Goodison, and you know it coincides with Koeman arriving there. Are the players not turning it on for him? I don't know. You look at that squad; they should be doing an awful lot better. Every time I see them, I'm shaking. But God knows what Everton fans think. No one knows because they're too inarticulate to utter it. They're shocking, and there's no way I'll be backing them here to beat Man United. There's something seriously wrong there.
Okay. Do you fancy Manchester United then, Derek, at 11-10?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Ronald Koeman called their performance last week against Southampton one of the worst of his short reign. Well, I can only assume he missed the performance at Chelsea. I only wish I had, because that was as bad as anything I've seen from Everton. They've been shocking. And yeah, you know, Man United, they turned it on in midweek, didn't they, in the cup match against West Ham. You could say that West Ham weren't interested, but I was impressed that by United. Some of their players have been bleating that they haven't been getting the results their players being as deserved. They've created chances and opposing goalkeepers have had blinders or they've hit the post or whatever, and sooner or later their luck will turn. We've heard that many, many times from many, many teams. But they have a case. They haven't had the luck, United. But they're in luck this weekend because they're playing Everton, and I think United are good things for 3 points here.
11-10 Manchester United. I spoke to Paddy Barkley, Tom, about Everton and what's gone wrong. He thinks that some of their key personnel now are just the wrong side of 30 and time is catching up with them. The likes of Phil Jagielka and Gareth Barry, and that's why they are, or they seem to be at the moment, on the decline.
It's an ageing squad, yeah, and that probably will have been one of Koeman's key sort of objectives, really, was to kind of, you know, transfer and move this squad on. When I watch them, and it surprises me, really, because I would have Koeman down as one of his big strengths is his coaching ability, okay? You know, it's tactically, it's improving players. But I look at Everton, I've watched them a few times this season, I look at the defence, which is well settled. You know, you've got two, you know, good, solid centre-backs there, and the full-backs we know about, because they've been consistent for years. But they look a separate entity to the two players in front of them, you know, Gay and Barry. And then they look completely separate to the three in front of them, whoever it might be, Barkley, Lennon, Bolasie. And then Lukaku looks like a separate. It almost looks like there are four or five separate parts to that team, and there's absolutely no fluency whatsoever. And I almost get a feeling that Koeman is managing by numbers here. He's, you know, he thinks the players are going to, if he puts them out. I have yet to see his stamp on things. And you're looking at Southampton, you know, where he'd obviously got a lot of plaudits for what he'd done there. But it's no surprise to me that Southampton continue to do well with a coach no one had really heard of before he came into the country. And I just wonder about Koeman and his ability. He said some things that I think will have upset people and have upset Everton fans and maybe disrupted the dressing room slightly. I don't know. All is not well at Everton. But with this one, Manchester United, you know, I was speaking to a Manchester United fan last week and he was saying similar things. What Derek has mentioned there, he says, you know, we've been playing really well. Actually, we prefer, you know, all the stat that was going round about Mourinho's start versus Van Gaal's and Moyes, you know, it being worse points-wise. They said we'd much prefer to football now under Van Gaal. You know, this idea amongst Manchester United fans that they play such a unique brand, or their tradition is so strong that's what they'll have regardless of winning. Well, no, Manchester United are a team built on winning things, and I think they're going to have a real struggle against the top four this season. They might be playing well, but they clearly don't have anything clinical up front enough to put all these so-called chances in the back of the net. I think this is typical Mourinho. I don't think he'll be ambitious in this game. I really don't, even though Everton are there for the taking. That's what I agree with Derek on. But I think this will be a draw. Manchester United have drawn, what, three of the last four Premier League games, Arsenal, West Ham and Burnley. All of them at home, yes. But I think Mourinho will go, and I think he'll feel, we get the point, it's decent enough. Mourinho's still not showing the ambition that he needs to break into that top four and five, and that's where he's going to come unstuck in this game. Whereas Everton will try and keep them at arm's length, but I don't think Everton really are going to... I think with a Pat Goodison, and as you say, a big fixture, they might rise to the occasion a little bit more. But for me, I think this is a draw all day long at 12-5.
We've got the full house then, because I fancy Everton to win this game at 11-4. Derek, just before we move on, one question for you here. Wayne Rooney's suspended for this match. If he was available, would Jose Mourinho be tempted to drop Paul Pogba?
Oh, interesting one. But
They're playing better without him, you know.
Yeah, Rooney was excellent in midweek, wasn't he? That's a good question. I'm a Pogba fan, but I can't believe, you know, give him a bit of time, you'd say, to settle in the Premier League. But, you know, it's not completely new to him, is it? He was at Man United for a long time. I don't know. I can't explain why he's been so sluggish. He's a class act without question, and he will come good. But, you know, we're waiting a long time for it.
Well, do you know what? It's like they've bought a super yacht and then they've realised they're 40 miles from any water. Do you know what I mean? They've bought an absolute Rolls Royce. I think he's superb, but they've bought him without any real thought or plan about how they should be building their... If you spend 90 million quid on a player, your entire team should be built around that guy, and they're just not doing it. And he has no idea what to do with him. No idea.
Last of the televised games this weekend is Middlesbrough versus Hull City, Monday, 8 p.m. Middlesbrough 4-5, the draw 5-2. Hull in the market at 4-1. Adama Traore to score and Middlesbrough to win was 3-1. That's been enhanced to 4-1. And Robert Snodgrass to score and Hull to win was 8-1. That's been boosted to 10-1. I'm sure Middlesbrough will fancy this after a 2-2 draw at the champions Leicester City last week. And Tom, I do like what Aitor Karanka's done this season. They look very solid defensively. But shots on target is usually a fair scope for a team's ability to progress. And Middlesbrough have had fewer shots on target than any other Premier League team this season. And that's why it wasn't the case last weekend, but I can see a lot of their games finishing low on the goals.
Well, I can as well. And, you know, Aita Karanka did that, you know, on his way to promotion from the Championship. He put the emphasis on the defence. He's not going to win the plaudits that Bournemouth and Swansea and Southampton have earned when they've come up from the Championship. He knows really that there are teams below them right at this moment that are trying to be a little bit more expansive and are getting picked apart. So he wants to keep things tight. It's not always pleasing the Borough fans, but what will please them is their solid, is their start to the season. The only thing that's upset the apple cart slightly is the results of last weekend. Swansea getting that victory. Sunderland, of course, have put a couple of results together. And all of a sudden, Middlesbrough looked in a very strong position, whereas now they're just a point above Hull, who are in that third relegation spot. What it says to me is that in the Premier League, much like the Championship, draws are no good. And I think this idea, you know, of a draw or a point is always good in the Premier League, I'm not so sure now. I think teams, the last 3 or 4 years, the ambition of certain sides, particularly the bottom six, seven sides, has been, no, we go for the win, we gamble for the 3 points because it's such a boost when you're down there. There are so many teams that are separated by a few points down towards the bottom. I just wonder whether Middlesbrough's ethos of getting the points is enough. You know, the last five matches, decent results, away to Arsenal, draw, beat Bournemouth at home, good result. Went to Man City and got a draw, narrowly beaten by Chelsea, and have drawn with the champions away from home, Leicester. Now, they, on the face of it, are good results, but their points all on where they're on the table maybe hasn't lifted them enough to where they think they'll be. Having said all that, of course, they're playing against a Hull City side who I have no faith in. I backed West Brom to beat them last week. They showed a bit of resilience to get a point there at home, but ultimately their results, and particularly their results away from home, have been shocking. They've been at Sunderland, Watford, Bournemouth and Liverpool. They've been stuffed pretty much in every single game, and I don't see that changing. But of course, the way to be back in Middlesbrough is not on the outright of 4-5. It's you've got to follow that trend of a lack of goals here, and a Middlesbrough victory in under 2.5 goals at 12-5. Mm. I think it's a big enhancement for what will probably be a 1-0, 2-0 game at best.
Yeah, I quite like that, 12-5. Maybe Derek Hull will be buoyed by qualifying for the semi-final of the EFL Cup. They beat Newcastle on penalties midweek, but they've just won one of their last 11 Premier League games, and they're going down, I think, Derek.
Well, I think they are, yeah. You know, in fact, I'm convinced they are going down. But Middlesbrough might yet go down with them. Middlesbrough's recent record has been quite impressive, and Tom is right to say, well, some good results on the board there, but it hasn't really done much for their league placing. They're only a point above Hull, and yet their odds on doesn't make sense to me. That it really doesn't. And you mentioned that Hull being useless away from home, but they started off the season with a win at Hull. They've won away from home virtually every round in the League Cup, including a win at Stoke, by the way. A great comeback against West Brom last week when everybody had written them off. They were actually outsiders in the at home to a Championship side in midweek against Newcastle, and they got through. You know, there are crumbs of comfort there if you're Mike Field and the manager. And I just think 4-1. You see, everything I've always said about the Premier League, when you get into a fixture like this, particularly when when Middlesbrough haven't got an out and out score that you're going to be worried about. If you're getting 3-1 or 4-1 about the away team, you've got to have a bet on them. And I'll be doing it. I've got no faith in Hull, the same as Tom hasn't. But I instinctively, as a punter, a long-standing losing punter, I know that they're too big here, and I've got to have a go at them. There's some big prices on the Premier League this season about teams that have got more than a chance of winning, and this falls into that category.
Karanka will take no gambles in this game as well, by the way. He'll want to keep, at the very least, he'll be thinking by, you know, sort of Monday evening and all the results on the weekend, he'll want to just keep Hull in probably the same place that they're at now, which is a point behind them. He'll think that is good, whereas I think some Middlesbrough fans will think, no, get the 3 points and you're pushing them down and you're elevating us, but I don't think he'll feel like that. These two sides met in March in the Championship, and it was exactly the same. They were both going for promotion, automatic promotion, and they set themselves up to be so defensive, and it ended up being, I think David Nugent scored in stoppage time. It was a fluky goal that ended up winning the game, and I can just see it being a similar sort of match.
On to the non-televised matches this weekend then, and we'll start at White Hart Lane, Tottenham versus Swansea, 1-3 Spurs. The draw 9-2, Swansea in the market at 8-1. Things aren't going well for Spurs, Derek. Knocked out of the Champions League at the hands of Monaco midweek and then beaten at Stamford Bridge last weekend. But strangely, that first 35 minutes at Chelsea might have been the best they played all season.
Yeah, they were excellent. I'd made them a better the weekend, you know, to much scorn and derision from you two. And I was just couldn't wait to get texted after the game, you know, I told you so. But it all went pear-shaped. It's hard to know what to think about Tottenham. Yeah, you look at this and you see how Swansea defended against Palace last week, or they won the game, but the way they defended was comical. And you think, well, it's an absolute nailed-on, stone-bonking home win. But it's 1-3 and it's Tottenham, and you don't make money doing that kind of thing. I'm troubled by the fixture. When I'm troubled, when a team is at home and looks certainties, but they're too short of a price, my fallback system is to back the away team, Swansea, with a start. So I'm going to back Swansea with a two-goal start there. Because, they defended, Keystone Cops defending, but they still won that game. You've just got to think that's going to give their confidence a power, do their confidence a power of good. It might just have turned the corner, that result, for Bob Bradley. It might not. I might look stupid. But I'm giving myself a little bit of a margin for error by backing them with a two-goal start.
That's 3-4, Swansea plus two. It was Benny Hill defending, wasn't it, in that game last weekend. Swansea eventually prevailing against Crystal Palace 5-4. It takes a little bit of luck and a little bit of spirit as well to come back from 4-3 down with just a couple of minutes remaining. Tom, do you think that might be the turning point for Swansea?
No, I don't think it will, sadly, because I think if you defend like that against top sides, and whatever people say about Tottenham, they're a top side. I know they've not been winning too many matches. They have played three of the current top four over this kind of run, and they have lost just one game this season, and you've got to remember that. I know they've not been playing well, but they're playing as a poor Swansea side, and actually I think one of Tottenham's strengths, I think Tottenham of the top four or five clubs, I think they are one of the best at set pieces, attacking set pieces, the players they've got from the back, the delivery they've got, the variation of delivery, and I think that's where it's going to cause problems. One thing that happens when teams have issues defending set pieces, it's very difficult to just sort of flick the switch. I know, when teams are in a rut like that, coaches talk about, managers say, well, we've been working hard at the training, but you can work hard all you want. There's something fundamentally not right in your team. And I think centre forwards and big centre forwards have given Swansea a big, big problem this season. I watched them at Stoke, where Wilfred Bonny, who hasn't turned up at all this season, looked like a world beater again against them. Christian Benteke again caused real problems for their backline, and I think Harry Kane will do exactly the same thing. Buoyed by that new contract this week, he's finally got what he wanted. There's been a standoff with him. They've got everyone else signed up to the contracts, but he wanted the big money. He's got it. And I don't think he's the kind of player who's obviously going to be sitting back on that now and thinking, well, I've earned a big money deal. I think he'll go out and prove himself once again. And consistently now, he's one of the top strikers in the Premier League and should be, for me, in goal-scoring terms, be right up there and regarded with people like Costa and Aguero we talked about earlier. So I think he's going to cause Swansea all kinds of problems. They're awful on the road. 11 goals conceded in their last four matches. For me, the enhanced odds, I can't look far past this. Harry Kane to score. Tottenham between 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 is 5-1. But I like Harry Kane to score two or more in this one at 4-1. I think there'll be goals for Tottenham here.
Stoke versus Burnley next. Stoke 8-13. The draw 11-4. Burnley in the market at 11-2. Wilfred Bonny to score and Stoke to win was 9-5, now 5-2. And George Boyd to score and Burnley to win was 10-1. That's been enhanced with William Hill to 14-1. Tom, Burnley have scored just 5 goals in their last 14 Premier League fixtures away from home and never scored more than once in that run in a game. And as we've spoken about on this podcast on numerous occasions, of the 14 points they've picked up this season, only one has been grabbed away from home.
Yeah, and a week last Monday they'd gone down to West Brom, and I thought this is their opportunity away from home to kind of get their first victory. I really did, because I still wasn't having West Brom, and they were absolutely embarrassed. It is a completely different side that turns up at Turf Moor, and we've talked about it a lot already this season, but I don't think it will bother Sean Dyche too much. I think he'll know that their home form could be enough to keep them in the Premier League. And actually, their league position is not too bad. And I think they'll want to, again, get through this weekend in a similar position to where they are now. That they're 3 points above Hull City. And they're 2 points behind a Stoke side who are really coming together, aren't they? They've won 4 of the last 6. Importantly for me, they've only lost 1 of their last 8 matches. That was at home against Bournemouth, who we've talked about being a decent side. I just can't be backing Burnley away from home. And actually, I think I was really impressed with Stoke's victory at Watford. They were tight. They were resilient. They kept a clean sheet, which is some doing against a Watford side who have scored a lot of goals this season. So I can't see Burnley suddenly turning it around away from home. I don't think they're set up to do particularly well. Stoke at 8-13, it's short. I think some might look at the draw with Burnley away and think, they're solid enough, but in my head is just that collapse against West Brom, and I think Stoke are a better side than West Brom. So I'm going to go for a Stoke victory, but I think they'll cover a handicap here, minus a goal at 8-5. You're looking at Stoke's, the last two home wins, for example, have been by a two-goal clear margins, and I think we'll have a similar kind of scoreline in this one.
Derek, your thoughts?
Well,
You see, that's the mistake I make as well, Tom, a lot. You watch a team and you can't, and they throw in a howler and you can't believe how bad they are, and you oppose them every week. It happened with Watford at Burnley, when Watford went to Burnley early this season, and it was just, they were a joke. And I've opposed them virtually every week since then, and now and again I've made a few bob, but most of the time it's cost me money. And I know that Burnley's record away from home was poor, but I don't think you can say that's Burnley away, the way they performed at West Brom. It was one of those games where nothing went right for them, and they didn't look at it. Inexplicable. But they're a Premier League team who have beaten some good teams this season, so you can't judge them on that 90 minutes. What I'm saying is that 11-2 here against a Stoke side that don't convince me, I think they're worth a bet. Okay, yeah, their away form is terrible. They're a stone below form away from Turf Moor. But they did get a point at Old Trafford. You know, there is something there. And a visit to Stoke, it's not what a visit to Stoke used to be. It used to be, you know, a daunting prospect. It's not anymore. This Stoke side, I can't get a handle on them. I'm not reading anything into that victory against Watford last week. It's probably one of the worst games I've ever seen. You don't convince the beatable Stoke, even on home soil. The reason you're getting 11-2 Burnley is because of their away form. But that's going to pick up. They are going to get a victory away from home this season, because they might. The two decent aside, not two, and this is a good chance for them. Again, this falls into this category, a very, very attractive price about the team. Now, if they did win, it wouldn't be the biggest surprise in the world. There's riches to be made this weekend, but probably not by me.
Burnley the pick for Derek at 11-2. Let's move on to Crystal Palace versus Southampton. Palace 12-5, the draw 23-10, Southampton 5-4. Enhanced odds, Andros Townsend to score and Palace to win. Was 11-2, now 7-1. And Nathan Redmond to score and Southampton to win was 17-5, now 5-1. Palace, Derek, have now lost six successive games after being beaten 5-4 at the Liberty last week. And Alan Pardew has never, in his history as a manager, lost seven in a row in the Premier League. However, it takes some doing to lose six in a row. He has done that before when manager of Newcastle back in early 2014. Palace have just been shocking in 2016, haven't they? Averaged 0.69 points per game, lower than any other team in the Football League or the Premier League this year. 12-5 to beat Southampton, Derek.
They're no bet at all, are they? I mean, you know, they didn't just lose 3 points against Swansea last week. I think they lost what little confidence they had left. They lost direction. They'll probably lose their manager as well. It was a cataclysmic defeat for Palace, and I can't see how they can bounce back from that. I really can't. I mean, you know, I said earlier, the teams can bounce back from a bad performance, but it was just the manner of it. You battle back from 3-1 down to 4-3 against Swansea with a couple of minutes to go, and then you lose. I mean, it's inexplicable. And you know, the manager the players aren't doing it for the manager. I have to say, some would argue, well, they must be doing it. They came back from 3-1 down to lead 4-3. But 60 feet tells you otherwise, 60 feet on the spin. And Southampton, Jesus, when am I ever going to get this team right? When I write them off, they go on a run. When I say how great they are, they lose. But they are a good side at their best. And I think any odds against you can get here to beat a Palace side that are just sitting ducks, well, you've got to take it.
5-4 Southampton for Derek. I enjoyed watching the changing faces of Alan Pardew in that game, Tom. It was good to watch.
Very good to watch. I don't know, I felt quite sorry for him, you know, at Newcastle with the Pardew out stuff and everything. You know, I was thinking, they probably don't realise what they had was a manager who I thought had done okay there, you know, with a decent-ish squad of players. But there's some delight that I think everyone seems to get when Alan Pardew's world is crumbling around him. Like the joy I've seen on Saturday night, not because anyone's pro Swansea, just because it's not that they're anti-Palace either. It's just people just seem to be anti-Pardew. And I couldn't believe how much joy there was. And the thing for Palace was, I looked down their squad and there's kind of, you know, household Premier League names, all right? Players with good experience, you know, on their day players, you know, with some good quality. Now, when it got to that position of being in front, I'm thinking, right, this is the moment now. You've got some big leaders. You've got some really experienced players in that team. You know, people like Kabay and, you know, the centre-halves, everybody. And they never look comfortable. You know, even getting back to that stage, that's the point where you wrap things up and they just didn't do it. I don't think Palace and I don't think Pardew can kind of change his spots in a week. And I don't expect them to change their approach this one. I don't think they can go after Southampton any other way than by absolutely going for it. They're an attack-minded side, which has been a big problem for them because they've been picked off, and I think people worked them out. They had a fantastic run the beginning of last season, up over Christmas and everything, and you know I was backing them a lot. They were brilliant away from home. But I don't know whether it's the fact that teams have sussed them out. And they're up against the Southampton side, who've just come back to the boil, haven't they? Three clean sheets in a row. You know, some good results for them. 10 clean sheets they've got this season. The only thing in my mind is whether there's going to be goals or not in this. That's what I cannot work out, and I'm still not sure. Palace, their recent scorelines, 5-4, 2-1, 3-2, 4-2, 3-1 defeats, whereas Southampton are keeping clean sheets. So do you go for Southampton, you know, to win to nil at 13-5 and think that will continue against a Palace side with zero confidence? Or conversely, you're backing Southampton team and goals because Palace ultimately, they tend to score, you know, and they just scored four last week. So going forward, there aren't major problems for them. I'm just gonna side on the over. I'm gonna go for a Southampton win and over 2.5 goals at 12-5 because it covers me a number of ways. Whether Southampton just take them to the cleaners and beat them 3 or 4 nil, which I can't necessarily see happening, but it just covers me. Likewise, if Palace get on the score sheet, I think Southampton will fancy the chance. But Southampton very, very tough to score against.
Sunderland versus Leicester are next. Sunderland 12-5, the draw 11-5, Leicester in the market at 13-10. Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win was 17-5, now 5-1. And Riyad Mahrez to score and Leicester to win was 3-1, now 4-1. Maybe now that Leicester have secured their spot in the Champions League knockout stages, Tom, there'll be a bit more focus on the league. But the draw with Middlesbrough at home last weekend was the latest disappointment. And Sunderland have undoubtedly improved slightly. Back-to-back wins against Bournemouth and Hull, and they kind of held their own for a period against Liverpool before they were broken down late on last weekend. Leicester actually haven't been leading away from home at any point this season in the league. How do you view this one?
I think Sunderland will fancy their chances. I really do. I mean, there's obviously a bit of confidence there. They've been a bit more direct themselves. And Leicester's defensive woes are a big problem. Three clean sheets in 13 games this season. Contrast that with Chelsea's recent defensive record, and there's one reason why, and it's Kante. You know, his loss is huge. Take away another player this weekend, chaps, in Danny Drinkwater, who's suspended. It leaves Leicester, for me, very weak in the middle of the park, and that's where they've had problems all season. There's been no protection for the back four, and teams have been able to pick them off and score goals at will. Yeah, they're playing against a Sunderland side, who are only 5 points behind the team they're playing. So a victory for them psychologically is huge. It'll be a blow for Sunderland that Swansea managed to get that win in that game against Palace last week, because it just altered things slightly, and obviously they're still bottom of the table. But the only team they failed to score against at home this season is Everton in a crazy game early on in the season. You know, aside from that, they've done all right. They've scored goals, and that for me is enough to think that they're going to be able to score one or two against Leicester. Leicester without the players they've got, and Sunderland could be boosted. Larsson back, Kirchhoff back as well. You know, a couple of key players for them could get in there. I'm looking at goals in this one, and I think I'm gonna side with Sunderland. I can't trust this Leicester side again, neither away from home or at home, because they're conceding goals. So I'm gonna go for Sunderland and both teams to score here at 5-1.
Derek?
Yeah, well, Leicester all season have been a team to oppose before a Champions League contest. We've seen the results; they've been pasted by everybody, it seems. And yet, you know, you're right to point out, well, they've already qualified now for the knockout stages of the Champions League. So, you know, surely they won't have an eye on next week. But I think they will. I think it's just the glamour of these Champions League nights. You know, they've done it all. They've done it in the Premier League now. They've won the league. Now that's on their CV. It's the Champions League now. And they won't want to go next week. And qualified or not already, they're not going to want to just take their foot off the gas. They, you know, they're becoming a force in Europe, strange as it seems. And I still think they'll be more concentrated on what happens next week than they are on this fixture. Because even though they're, you know, they're staring, they're looking over the shoulders at the teams beneath them. I still don't think among Leicester players and their fans that there's any worry of the relegation, our relegation fight. And yet there should be, especially the way they're playing. They're not convincing anybody in the league. 13-10 is no sort of bet. So I don't think there's going to be a single punter, Leicester colours or otherwise, who'll back them at those odds. Sunderland have been doing okay in the league, as you rightly pointed out. And that performance at Liverpool last week, they could have got something out of that. And that was against a team flying at Anfield. I like the look of them at the moment. I don't think they're going to get out of relegation trouble for a long while. They're in the thick of the dogfight between now and May. But a 12-5 here, I think there's something to bet on.
12-5 for both Derek and Tom. And we finish with West Brom versus Watford. The Baggies, West Brom, are 6-5 to win the game. The draw is in the market at 11-5. Watford, 13-5. Nasser Chadli to score and West Brom to win was 14-5. Now 4-1. Odi Ighalo to score and Watford to win was 11-2. That's been enhanced to 7-1. Derek, as you've made mention of on this podcast and off air as well, Watford, one of the most difficult teams to predict this season. But they didn't look good at home against Stoke on Sunday. And even though they've won two of their last five, those wins came at home against Hull and Leicester, who we've spoken about on the podcast. Hull, one of the worst sides in the Premier League, and Leicester haven't been interested so far this season. I must admit, I'm pretty keen on West Brom here at 6-5. What do you think, Derek?
Well, you see, Watford are probably the worst team to get a handle on. I think the second worst team are West Brom. I think this fixture is just here be dragons. It should be, you know, there should be a sign.
It is painful, isn't it?
Oh my God! I mean, if I had to have a bet on this match to save my life, I still wouldn't bet on it. Give you an idea of my life, that, doesn't it? I have not got a clue about this fixture. I can't bring myself to back West Brom at 6-5. I really can't. I think they're not a team I'm going to trust at short prices. You know, I haven't tipped a draw in any of the games this weekend, and there's surely got to be at least one of them. Why not this one? I'll go for the draw.
Tom?
Well, Watford have got a lot of injuries. I still can't believe these two sides are where they are in the table, because it's maybe a handful of decent results I can probably think of from both teams, and they are where they are. It probably says a lot about the teams that are below them in the table. I mean, if you'd have said, I mean, you know, I don't look at the league table very often, but if you'd have said to me that both these sides were above Southampton in the table going into this weekend's games, there's absolutely no way I'd have believed you. But it's from a goals point of view, I mean, look, both the West Broms, you know, at home, they've had a 4-0 defeat against Man City, a 4-0 victory against Burnley. All of a sudden, this West Brom side this season, goals have been the order of the day for them in their matches. But Watford, you know, their two strikers still aren't scoring. They're relying on, you know, midfielders and other players to kind of chip in with the goals. And I just can't get a handle on Watford. I don't trust either of these sides. I really don't. And Watford away from home, I particularly don't. I would probably side slightly with West Brom, but I think the draw is more appealing. So I've got to agree with Derek at 11-5. That's where I'd go.
You mentioned about you can't believe where Watford and West Brom are. Everton have won 1-8.
Yeah, yeah.
And playing like, and they're seventh, only a point behind Man United. What's happening with this league this season?
About to say as well, Derek, I didn't believe you, Tom. I had to check.
Yeah.
Southampton were. I can't believe Southampton have only won 4 of 13 games this season. That's incredible.
Amazing, actually.
You have them down in your head. They've had a good season, haven't they? But you know, you just expect them to be bubbling away under Manchester United. You know, they're around that kind of area.
Okay, naps then, chaps. Best bets this weekend. Derek, you lead us off.
There's a lot of big prices around here, but nothing leaks out as a number one bet apart from Bournemouth 4-1 to beat Liverpool.
Okay, Bournemouth for Derek, Tom?
I too am going to go for a 4-1. Harry Kane has scored 2 or more goals against Swansea. New contracts in the bag. Swansea have just shipped 4 goals last week against Palace. I think Harry Kane at White Hart Lane will score at least a brace.
They've just cut that price, Derek, to 19-5.
Have they?
You're on the right side of things there.
Exactly.
I'll put it in as 19-5 for treble purposes, but for the purposes of your nap, Derek... on the podcast.
Put it in at 25-1.
you can have 4-1 on your nap. Harry Kane to score 2 or more at 4-1 for you, Tom. And I'm going to go with Everton to win the game against Manchester United. I like them at 11-4 this week. Just gone 13-5, in fact. I'll have 11-4 as well for podcast purposes.
Well, there's the treble scuppered then.
I'd work that treble out for you, but my computer's on a go slow, so you'll have to do that one yourself, listeners. But it's a huge price.
Yeah.
It's a huge price, that treble. Everton to go with Bournemouth and to go with Harry Kane to score 2 or more. Chaps, thank you for your company.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Remember, you can download this podcast via audioboom.com or check us out on iTunes as well just by typing in William Hill. All 10 matches priced up, numerous markets on the William Hill website and available on the app. And if you're having a bet this weekend, good luck.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey-o, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with 4 or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday.
Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.